What's up, everybody? It's Shelby with Hooks, Books, and Crime, and it's Crafting Story Time. I'm doing something a little bit different today, trying some new stuff. So I'll be talking to you on one side, and you'll be able to see what I'm doing on the other side. Still making my 90s character. I feel like this green color is really going to let you know who she is. I got my hair done, dyed it blue. My hands are blue, as you can see. My neck was blue. Everything's blue. I'm like that song from Eiffel 65. That's me right now. And then my son, not my son, I don't know, I have a white dog, Wilfred. Somehow I turned him blue, and I got my hair done in a salon. He was not present, but I walked by him and I noticed he's blue. I was like, whoops, sorry, Wilfred. But yeah, let's get to it. Oh, and then two of my kids have COVID, which, I mean, you know what? We went 5 years without getting it. I'm going to count that as a win. They're doing fine, aside from a fever, a little bit of a cough, and a runny nose. They're a little fussy. It seems like they're getting like the better part of it. They don't seem to have body aches or anything like that. So I'm just grateful for that, really. But so yeah, our story today. It's a good one. Or my story. It's just me who does this by myself. My story today is a good one. Definitely one that makes you realize that crazy is out there everywhere. And I know people are just like, oh, you can't use that word crazy. When you get to it, you're going to be like, oh, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. They're crazy. Okay, so let's get to it. All right. So we are in Atlanta, Georgia. And Carrie Harris is this beautiful woman. But as a child, she was very intelligent, very intelligent. And she had these qualities already in her of being very persistent, knowing what she wants, being goal and detail oriented. And that followed her into adulthood, which, I mean, God, I wish I was more like that. I would say I'm pretty detail oriented myself, but I'm sure I'm nothing compared to Carrie, that's for sure. So, Carrie is, like I said, a very intelligent child. She's definitely got a good head on her shoulders, that's for sure. And she seems to be just this lovable woman. She gets her degree, and she actually, in 2006, she starts working in a processing plant. What do they process? I do not know. I couldn't really find much of information from the company, and you'll kind of understand why as we get further. But so she starts working at a processing plant, and her whole job is quality assurance. Quality assurance, if you do not know, I feel like the title explains itself. She does quality assurance, so her whole job is to hold everything to standard and make sure everybody is doing things as it should be done. All paperwork is filed as it should be. And there's no loose ends. That is her whole job. And she's good at it because she has standards and she expects them to be met herself. She sets goals for herself. She expects them to be met. Again, great head on her shoulders. And quality assurance definitely seems like the right place for her. Now, Carrie, and I'm one of these people too. I feel like there's a lot of us like this. Carrie really likes to keep her work and personal life separate. And it really is just better that way. It works easier that way. When you seem to mingle them, you're opening a door to bring more conflict into your life. I'm not saying it will, but it could. It most definitely could. So she's just trying to keep things separate and keep things as easy as possible. I completely respect that. I am the same way. People don't even know what company I work for. I've worked for them for going on 6 years. Nobody knows who I work for. Nobody knows who I work for. Nobody even knows what I do. It's kind of hard to explain my job anyway, but yeah, nobody knows what I do. They just know I work from home. I never want to go back to an office, honestly. When saying that, keeping your work and personal life separate, what you're also saying is That also goes for dating in the workplace. Most definitely. Another conflict or just opening to conflict and issues you don't want to deal with. I mean, I've seen that myself. I worked for Bank of America for almost 3 years when I started when I was 19. So when I worked there, this girl I worked with, her boyfriend worked for the same company, but he worked at a different branch. And what they were doing at that branch is, so there's an opening team, and the opening team comes in. The first person who enters the branch would turn off the alarm. And I mean, this goes with, I don't even know if opening procedures are like this anymore, but that's standard for any bank company that has an alarm. First person in there obviously has to dismantle it. So what they were doing was, back in our day, when people still use banks often, especially businesses, well, businesses are their primary customers now, commercial. But so you would come in at 6, drive-thru opens at 6:30. Or I know, you would come in at 6:15, drive-thru opens at 6:30. Branch opens at 9, but drive-thru is open at 6:30 in the morning. You come in at 6:15 to work the night deposits. Now, what they were doing is they started getting complaints from customers that the branch wasn't open at 6:30 as it should be. And that's because you would have people who maybe they got their paycheck on a Wednesday. So they would go and deposit it on their way to work. They'd be at the branch at 6:30, 6:45, at work 7:30, 8 o'clock. I don't blame them. I would do that too. Well, they weren't actually opening to the branch till about 7:30. So when they started getting complaints, they went ahead and called the security company and asked, what time are we turning off the alarm? And that's when they came back and said, like, you've been turning it off after 7 o'clock. It was always like 7:15, 7:30. I think the furthest ever was 8 o'clock. So naturally, 4 people got fired that day because they were clocking in at 6. It's time fraud. You're tardy as shit and you're fucking lying on your time card. You're fired. But because the girl I worked with, even though she was at a different branch, she got put under investigation too, because they weren't sure if, because she was part of our opening team. So we had to go through this whole investigation to make sure we weren't doing that. And we all had those, I was on the opening team too, we had to get questioned. Which, like, and I remember she was so embarrassed and she was so pissed because she didn't know he was doing that. Turns out this dude was, like, pretending to leave for work when she was pretending to, when, not she wasn't pretending, when she was leaving for work. He would drive off, go get himself Starbucks, and come right back home and sleep for another hour and then leave for work. Because where he was working was probably within a 5-mile radius of where they were living. She worked further. And yeah, that's the shit he was doing. So she was pissed. I would be too. And thing, and that's what we mean, keeping work and personal life separate. Don't need to bring shit like that into your life. You really don't. She met him at work and decided to date him. And then, yeah, it just embarrassed her. I wouldn't want anything like that around me either. Now, I say that. I say that, but I met my ex-boyfriend at work. And then, you know, that bit me in the ass too. But, ooh, hold on, what did I do here? I'm freehanding this jacket, and it is just so frustrating, so frustrating. Anyway, look at me just frogging away. So, back to Carrie. Carrie doesn't want to mix her personal life with work life. Again, that includes dating. She is not interested with anybody that she works with, has no intention of being interested in anybody that she works with. Fair enough, you know, you gotta respect that. She meets Craig Armstead. He's seems like a nice guy, he's friendly, but he one day comes in and brings her flowers, and she's immediately kind of like caught off guard and like, no, she saw it as an inappropriate gesture. And But you know, she let it slide. You would think telling someone like, "I can't accept that. I'm not interested that way. I don't want anything like that here while I'm working." Fair enough. You would think someone like that, somebody would respect that. And that's how she took it. She took that he would respect it because why wouldn't he? And he did seem a little vexed by it. He didn't like that she rejected him, but tough cookies. Now, she goes on working, doesn't let it bother her. However, there are some weird things. Like, she did notice that somebody had been moving stuff around her desk. Again, someone who is detail-oriented and very organized. Things are where they should be and as they should be at all times, most likely. And so when stuff's moved around, most definitely she's going to notice. And that's what she kept coming into her office and finding, which of course drew concern. Who the hell's in my office? Why are you touching my shit? What are you looking for? Are you trying to steal from me? Yeah, just weird little things. And she lets it slide. She doesn't get too like upset or anything like that about it. Well, even at that, I mean, how could she? She doesn't know who's doing it. And even at that, so he brings her flowers. He asks her out. She tells him no and not to ever do something like this again. Inappropriate, unprofessional. She wants no part of it. Now, this is so frustrating. You'll have no idea. So she goes on with her work life. After that, nothing really came up. He started, leaving her alone. So yeah, she was good until her birthday comes around. It's her birthday, and like any most companies, they have they celebrate her birthday. They tell her happy birthday. They bring her a cake and everything. They're happy to have her there. I'm sure she was a great asset to the team. Now, oops. Now, it's her birthday that shit gets weird again. And that's because good old Craig goes ahead and. So, let's backtrack a little bit. For her birthday, Carrie's parents or mother buys her a pair of diamond earrings. They're beautiful. She's excited. She's happy. They're these cute little studs. She wears them to work. And I guess Craig sees this and he's like, ah, my girl likes diamonds. So what does he do? He goes and buys Carrie diamonds for her birthday. I mean, it takes a particular kind of woman to be like, oh, thanks, I'm gonna take the diamonds and not think there's something weird or off about that, especially after you already rejected this person. And when that happened, she was definitely not happy about it and made it very clear that that gift was unacceptable and inappropriate. And because of this gesture, and really, it's too much. The amount of money he paid is just too much. And most definitely, she saw the red flag and she went and reported it to HR, as she should. That's just not okay. That is so much money to spend on someone who's already rejected you. I mean, really, how do you go from flowers to diamonds, though? That is one hell of a jump. You went across fucking Lake Michigan for that shit. That's insane. Now, sorry. Have y'all seen that meme? Or not that meme, that fucking reel where it's that it's that basketball player who talks about the ocean in Chicago and the guy's like, "You mean the lake?" He's like, "That's not a lake. You can't see the other side." He's like, "It's a lake." He's like, "No, it's an ocean." Have y'all seen that? That had me laughing so damn hard. I don't blame him, but at the same time, like, when have you ever heard anybody say, "I'm going to Chicago Beach" or something like that? Or, "I go to Chicago to see the ocean." When have you ever heard somebody say that? Oh, that made me laugh so damn hard. Anyway, sorry. So, yeah, this dude really took it too far. So she goes and reports it to HR, and HR. Is they make a report on it, and he's actually written up for this. He's written up and he's told to stay away from her. And so that's such a sticky situation, really, because it does need to be addressed, right? He can't go on thinking that this is allowed and appropriate, most definitely not. But at the same time, I feel like it's also putting kind of like a target on her back. He knows most definitely that that report or that complaint came from Carrie. So dude's probably going to get real salty real quick over it. And again, he acted kind of like a little hurt puppy, but he did listen. He did what they told him and stayed away from her. It was really, you only speak to her if it's a business need. Other than that, you have no business around her. You have no business in her office. Don't even walk near her office. I don't know if it went that far, but that's just how I feel about it. Like, no, we're not doing this. We're not chanting it. And, you know, after this, life really just goes on. But this earring incident did bring up a very, very alarming tidbit, if you will, of Craig. She actually met a coworker out one night, and the coworker felt the need to make her aware that, felt the need to make Carrie aware of the fact that Craig actually has served prison time. Craig actually served 5 years for manslaughter. Like, oh, well, what kind of manslaughter was it? And usually, you know, you hear manslaughter and you think something accidental. In this case, it most definitely was not accidental. Craig murdered his ex-girlfriend. Or his girlfriend at the time, he killed her. And he was able to get manslaughter. He was sentenced to 10 years for manslaughter because of his insanity plea. And they bought it and took it. But he only served half of his sentence. So her friend, her coworker slash friend, tells her this because she feels that she needs to know. And I mean, really, thank God that friend told her that. Because now Carrie knows that she really, really needs to watch herself and keep an eye on Craig and make sure this man really just does not come near her. So, and he, like I said, he listens, he doesn't come near her, he doesn't bother her, nothing of the sort. And life goes on, then Carrie actually goes on to continue her education in this time. She gets her master's degree, and with the master's degree, she earns a promotion at work, which is great. And I love the fact that her employer saw that, she saw this level up for herself and rewarded her and saw it as an asset rather than them being like, so. They gave her a promotion so she could use her new skills and be an even better investment for them. Because that's what it is when you hire someone. It's expensive to hire people, especially with like background checks and everything. It's an investment, and they bet on her. And she was, you know, they bet on the right horse. She was very good at her job. And she was a good employee. She didn't cause anybody any problems. She didn't bring any grief. Whatever problems she was having at home didn't affect her work. She was, you know, a gold star employee, most definitely. The thing about her promotion or her graduating and everything is, again, Carrie is very private. She is very, very private. And when what she means when she's private, she felt it was really nobody's business that she graduated with her master's degree. And I'm the same way. When I worked in the office, I wouldn't even tell people it was my birthday. It's none of your business if it's my birthday. Who cares? That's people I actually know and care for is business, not people at work. I don't care if you know my birthday. If you do, great. Thank you for telling me happy birthday. If not, okay. It's better you don't. I don't need you knowing my business. She did not feel the need to tell people about this achievement, especially if on just her birthday this man came and bought her diamond earrings. Like, yeah, most definitely do not tell anybody in this team about big moments for me. It really is better that you don't. Unfortunately, the company didn't see it this way, and it's not like I didn't see anything saying that she requested for them to keep it to themselves or anything. So they more than likely thought they were just being a good employer. They're celebrating their employee and they're encouraging, you know, they probably saw what they were doing as being, what's the word I'm looking for, being supportive and being proud. So one day she gets called into a room and her whole team is there waiting for her and they're there to celebrate her achieving her master's. And she's very caught off guard and she's not happy about this because Craig's in there. And now Craig knows about this new achievement. So what does this man do? He buys her a fucking Palm Pilot. Like, no. That's expensive too. Palm Pilots were expensive. We didn't have smartphones that did that for us. And she's definitely upset about this. She's upset about the unprofessionalism. He didn't respect the boundary put in place by not just her, but by the employer as well. She's even upset with her employer for even putting her in that position because, let's face it, they most definitely did. They may not realize it, and they may not have even thought about that at the time, but that's what they did. They put her in jeopardy. She still, of course, declines the gift. Like, she's not going to give in to that. She's not going to just, like, okay, you know, well, he was persistent. That's not what's happening here. She's not okay with it, and she's letting it be known to him. Like, that's not even bad enough. What happens next, like, really takes a darker turn. And that's when Carrie and a fellow co-worker are in the women's restroom. And the co-worker notices something off about a cosmetic bag that's sitting by the mirror. And it's a camcorder. Somebody has been recording women in the restroom. That's terrifying. And I mean, I feel like that's more of a siren than a red flag. Like, what the hell? Who is recording women in a restroom? That is the grossest thing to me. I do not understand it. The fact that it happens so often is just so disturbing. That is so gross. I do n ugh. Ugh. This just grossed me out already. Like, what? So they take the cosmetic bag and they try to go and report it to HR, but HR, this is later in the evening. The people who work at HR, they've already gone home for the day. So Carrie takes it home with her with the plan to turn it in the next morning. So on June 26th of 2008, which is the next day, that is exactly what Carrie does. Carrie arrives to work and she heads straight for HR. She heads straight for the office. And what's crazy is on like the security cameras, you can actually see Carrie walking to the office from they're in separate buildings. So you see her leaving her building and going to the HR office. And at the same time, you actually see Craig. You see Craig walking to Carrie's building. And he sees Carrie walking with that cosmetic bag. If you haven't figured it out, Craig is the one recording women in the restroom. Yeah, the guy who keeps buying her gifts and who's probably the one who's been touching shit in her office, and that's why she keeps finding things in places they don't belong. So, and he, you know, I think at that point he knows, like, oh shit, like they're gonna know it's me. I'm doing this. So Carrie gets to the HR office and reports what she's found. And of course, the HR department's like horrified at this revelation. I mean, who wouldn't be? That's probably the thing you ex one of the least likely things you expect to ever have to handle or have reported to you. But that's what they came into work for that day. So Carrie reports, she goes to HR, reports it, HR's horrified. And the police are called. Of course, this is a criminal investigation now. It's no longer just HR involved. The police are involved now. The police are called, they take report of it, and they leave. And Carrie, you know, Carrie's a professional. Carrie just, she goes back to her day. She goes back to work. And even at that, like, if you're going to go home for it, let's say you go home because of what you've discovered, that's all you're going to think about. That's, you're just going to be upset and brooding the whole day. So she chose to be productive. So Carrie goes back to her office, and Craig's waiting for her there. Craig attacks her with a butcher knife that he actually found in the workplace, which I still have questions about. Why is there a knife in there? I mean, I've worked in a place before where they actually had dishes for us. I don't remember steak knives being one of them. I think we had butter knives because I would use it for like my apples and peanut butter. But I most definitely do not remember like steak knives because it's unsafe. You only know so much of who you work with, and they could be singing a whole different tune of who they really are. Craig stabs her multiple times, and the worst part is where Carrie's office is, there was actually a meeting going on really like down the hall, not very far at all. So they heard everything. They heard the screaming. They heard the altercation. They heard the whole commotion. They come out wherever they are. They come out from that room to come investigate. And what they see is Craig running out of Carrie's office. And they find Craig running out of Carrie's office. And Carrie is dead on the floor. So police are called to the office a second time. And these employees are horrified, horrified of what has happened. Never in someone's life would they expect there to be a murder while they're in the office. This is not like an end of day occurrence where some people were, like those who were staying late are still there. No, it was still early enough to where people are eating lunch. And this happened. That's insane to me. So Craig is caught pretty quickly after. This isn't where he's on the run or anything. They're able to apprehend him. But the sad part is, you know, Carrie's gone. And in the police interview with Craig, you really learn how disturbed this man really is. Craig most definitely has some issues. There's no sugarcoating that. So, as they're interviewing him, he's talking about how, you know, that Carrie rejected him, but the main thing that I found so crazy, and I don't want to say interesting, but it was interesting, is he tells the police that there is an evil in him. There's something in him that makes him want to do these things. And it's not something, he knows what he's feeling is not normal. So he has to internalize it. He can't just call a friend and talk about it. He can't really go to therapy. I guess he could go to therapy, but I guess he would be afraid of it being reported if he's reporting things that would make him a danger to other people. I know there's like doctor confidentiality, but I feel like once it becomes a problem where people just going about their day are in danger, just anybody he encounters, I would hope that then they report it. And so he tells them that this evil he calls that he has in him, he just refers to it as Frank. So he's named the feeling. The feeling has a name. Did you ever see Fight Club? Me, Myself, and Irene? I guess that's what we're dealing with. What's the other one? Split? What's her name? It wasn't me. It was Patricia. I guess Frank's Patricia. That's probably the most accurate one. Split. That's him. So they ask him, what did Frank do to her? And that's when he says that he just stabbed her. And I mean, this was most definitely an ambush. She had no idea that he was waiting for her. She had no clue. She didn't know that Craig was the one who was doing it. Maybe she had a feeling it could be him. Maybe she had a suspicion. But she never made the accusation. All she knew is that she found a camcorder in the women's restroom. That's all she knew. Craig knew that it was going to come back to him. And if any of this isn't disturbing enough, when police look into what's on the camcorder, because of course that needs to be reviewed, unfortunately, those poor officers, they learn that he has hundreds, if not thousands, of hours of content. And he has taken it upon himself to snip and put together the content of each individual. So they all have their own file, basically. And he puts all of that onto a CD. So he has multiple CDs of, you know, one of each person. And he's used a picture of them as the cover of the CD, like, jacket. Like, what? It's just so crazy. Like, ew. And when they ask him about them, about that, he says that those, because what he would do is he would get to work extra early and put the camcorder. And then at the end of the day, when everybody went home, or when he knew the coast was clear, at least, he would go back and retrieve it. He would do this daily. And which means that he knew that night before that someone took the camera. So I think, honestly, I think he would have hurt whoever found it. I think Carrie was the unfortunate woman who he happened to see it. And it's because he saw her walking with it. He saw her walking with the bag the next morning. Now, he tells them that watching those videos, because he would watch what he recorded that day, that night. And he told them that that's, watching that was the only thing that made him not want to hurt other people. So you hear all of this, and you remember that this man got off murdering his girlfriend for insanity and only did 5 years. I think that was a mistake. I understand wanting to give the benefit of the doubt, especially if it's his first charge and his first, you know, offense. And it makes me wonder, like, was he evaluated? How many times was he evaluated? By how many different doctors was he evaluated? So, you know, those are questions that have to be asked. But at the end of the day, he was arrested for Carrie's murder. And he was charged not only with murder, but he was also charged for the unlawful surveillance. Because at that point, Carrie is a victim of murder. But Carrie is not the only victim of who was recorded. She's not the only woman in the office. Everybody has to use the restroom at one point. So he's actually found guilty for murder, as well as the, he's found guilty of murder and 18 counts of unlawful surveillance. And with this, he is actually, he's found guilty of it. He's sentenced to life in prison with an additional 60 years. And, you know, there's still another party here that Carrie's family felt needed to be held accountable, and that was the business. You see, as they looked further into Craig's background, he did have that murder charge, the manslaughter charge from 1992. But in 1999, he has a felony peeping Tom charge. I don't understand why this man was hired. I understand that there's people deserve second chances, and, you know, there's work programs that businesses get a benefit of hiring convicts, but this man didn't evade taxes. He's hurting people and he's spying on people. And what do we know about peeping Toms? It never ends there. The voyeurism turns into stalking or breaking into houses, and then it turns into assault, and then it turns into murder. And you connect the dots with Craig, and he ended where you think he would have ended. It would have been more surprising if he never hurt anybody again or never peeped on anybody again, but that's not the case. He was doing both, and being caught peeping led him to murdering. It's truly tragic. Carrie's family went and sued the employer, and rightfully so. And the employer, they really, at least publicly, did not want to take responsibility for what happened. Because they were asked, why would you hire this man? Why? He has two felonies that are directly related to other people. And really, they just, that they're horrified by the actions, stuff like that. Never, ever did they explain why he was hired, what the thought process was to even consider him. And, because we have all of those questions. It does not make sense as to why this man was allowed to work among women. And even at that, at his trial, his defense tried to use the insanity plea again. That didn't fly in Georgia because his original conviction was in New Jersey. And that's who gave him the manslaughter charge. I forgot where the peeping Tom charge was. But when he killed Carrie, they tried the insanity plea again in Georgia. It was just oh no, this man knows what he's doing. He was not in some incapacitated state where he could not realize his actions. That was most definitely not the case. He waited for her. He saw her and he waited. Who knows what lengths he would have gone to if he didn't see Carrie with that bag and it just came back that he was fired. I still think he would have hurt someone. For all we know, he would have assumed it was Carrie because he took her rejecting him very personal. When, yes, it is personal, she wasn't interested, but they were coworkers. She wasn't going to be interested. She drew a line. And this man just couldn't take it. So Carrie Harris, definitely a woman who did not deserve that. I mean, do any of these victims ever really deserve this? Most definitely not. I doubt that she was this horrible, horrible, horrible human being to where we could just go good riddance, because that's not the case. She seemed like a very, not just an asset for her employer, but she seems like someone that everybody needs in their corner at some time or another in their life. She seemed supportive and loving, but she also seemed like the kind of person who was going to tell you what you needed to hear, not what you want to hear. She's quality control. She expects you to meet the standard. And really, I think we all need people like that in our lives because we all need accountability. And she was most definitely taken too soon. That is the story of Carrie Harris. And most definitely a warning that evil lurks everywhere and in anyone. You really cannot guess. You need to go with your gut feelings at all times. That is the only way that you could hopefully, and avoid anything like this. Because it could literally be anybody. And that's the most terrifying part. It could be anybody who does it, and it could be anybody it happens to. In this case, it was poor Carrie. I thank you for joining me. I finished the back of my jacket. I'm working on the sleeves now. As you can see, I was measuring it. I think that's gonna do. I didn't count how many stitches I did though, as I was talking, but yeah, I'm almost done with it. I should be done with it by the end of the week, should this back panel work. And you can tell I freehanded both of these, and I didn't pay attention to what I was doing exactly. So my increases are in different spots and everything, which is why my back panel is so uneven as well. This had to be taken in and decreased far more than this side. And on this side, I actually had to increase a little bit. So, this is why I don't make patterns. But I thank you for joining me. Please like, share, and subscribe, and I'll catch y'all on the next one. Okay, bye.